Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome. This is Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio, and a lot to talk about today. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. If you'd like to join the conversation, you want to talk about money, saving money, building money, keeping money, the color of money, whatever, 504-260-0995, and you can reach out through the Winning at Life app also.
Man, I was expecting you to say Eddie Money at some point. Hey, I'm your co-host, James Parker. I'm coming in a little hot today, so forgive me. If it sounds like I woke up on the wrong side of bed, I didn't. I actually had a pretty good day, but it got ruined by Congress. You want to just jump right into that?
Absolutely.
Here's some more frustrating
stuff. It's kind of the biggest thing of the day.
Behind you on TV, we have the Fox News channels on, talking about impeachment. That they're making me mad too. CNN, all right, they're on their little bandwagon. MSNBC, okay, I got it. But while everyone's talking about impeachment now, real news is happening that affects your wallet, my wallet, our country's future, the amount of taxes and debt our grandkids are going to have to pay back. I mean, real things are happening right now, and it's almost going unreported. Things that in the past, Gregory, were the most important thing in the world. Remember in years past when we were 3 days away from the debt ceiling? Remember what that was like? The talk of catastrophe and the country collapsing and grandma being pushed off a cliff and children starving and writhing in the street.
Death tolls in the national parks are going to increase.
Right?
Yeah, and it turned out it actually went down because there's less people to fall off mountains.
So it's just so weird that when they want it to be the news, when we're 3 days away from a government shutdown, oh, it's the most important thing in the world. But we were with 3 days away from a government shutdown today. Nope, they don't care. Apparently, it's not important. This is more important. This thing that nobody's going to be talking about a year from now. This impeachment stuff's going to be a footnote. And so what happens while everyone else is distracted and talking about impeachment? The worst spending bill that we've seen in... what was that first year? 10 years. What this puts us on track for, if this passed out of the House, if this goes through the Senate, next year will be the highest deficit since Obama's first term. And that was only blown up because they passed an extra $1 trillion spending bill that just got tacked onto the regular bloated budget that they had already approved. So that was kind of an anomaly year. So it is now official. This president right here, fiscally speaking, is the second worst president we've ever had. There is not a fiscally conservative party. There doesn't seem to be any faction in D.C. that even cares about being good stewards with our money, Gregory. And the details are just going to make it worse. See, I told you I'm a little hot today, but you're going to get hot after you hear the details. Are you ready for this? Or you want it?
Yeah, hit me.
Sorry about the ruining your good mood. This is from Hillary Vaughn on Fox Business.
David, there's something for everyone, which really speaks to why it is over $1.3 trillion. The spending package passed by the House is expected to be passed by the Senate later this week to effectively avoid a government shutdown scheduled to happen on Friday. Inside these spending packages repeals three different Obamacare taxes: the medical device tax that was scheduled to take effect in January, a tax on health insurance, and also the Cadillac tax goes away. That's a 40% tax on high-cost employer health plans that ended up hurting union workers who ended up negotiating better health care plans. The deal also raises the age for purchasing tobacco to 21. That applies to e-cigarettes and vaping devices. The defense portion of the package adds $22 billion more for defense spending compared to the last fiscal year. It officially makes the Space Force the sixth branch of the military and includes the biggest pay increase for military men and women. employees in a decade, 3.1% raise. Republicans were also able to secure border funding for a border wall system, $1.3 billion for that. It also gives the president more flexibility on where he can build that wall. Democrats secured some wins in this too, $25 million for gun violence research, $425 million for election security grants, and $208 million more dollars for the EPA. But budget hawks are not thrilled with this because when they voted to raise the spending caps over the summer, the CBO predicted that this would actually add $1.7 trillion to the deficit over a decade.
Doesn't get much worse than that, Gregory.
Gosh, it is just spin. Mm-hmm. How much on gun research? $25 million?
That's the one that makes me the sickest, and it's the smallest number. Yeah, let's spend $25 million, see if we can figure out a way to take away the citizen's Second Amendment rights. Why would we even study this? Can you imagine this for any other right? Hey, let's appropriate $25 million in taxpayer funds while we're running a deficit to see if we need to curtail free speech. How about that, Gregory? You think that would pass? Why do people sit aside for guns like that right doesn't count? Because guns are scary? The only thing I somewhat like about this is the pay increase for the troops, but that's just really the price we had to pay to get the extra billions that are going to be spent on the continuing wars overseas. Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, we have some stuff going on in North Africa still, and so we're in all these theaters. So, yeah, most of that $22 billion for defense, they are just using the pay raise for the soldiers to make us accept that. The rest of that's unacceptable, to me at least.
You know, I was reading an article, speaking of the wars and spending, the Afghanistan deal that's going on. You know, we have troops going over there now that were toddlers when this started.
Technically speaking, there could be someone signed up right now that wasn't born when 9/11 happened. They could be 17 about to go in, and when they're 18.
Yeah, we're getting close to that happening instead of saying, yeah, what were you doing during 9/11?
Yeah, were you alive?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
That's pretty small, but they're going. That's how long this thing's been going. World War II, how long did it last?
Just 4 years.
Refresh my memory.
That's it.
4 years. But we're having to be in Afghanistan for 20 years. You know, it's just unbelievable. The cost in lives, the cost in resources, equipment, money, it just never ends. It's like, is this the way it's going to be from now on? We just stay there and the other countries, you know, and I'm not just going to pick on that, but you know, how long have we been in South Korea with stationing troops there?
70 years, if you count the war. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, when does that end?
Is there an expiration date on this gallon of milk?
It doesn't end. So this is kind of like we're still the world's peacekeeper. It just doesn't ever end. Okay. I said my piece on that.
$425 million for election security. Do you know what a fraud that is? Gregory, there is no elections that the federal government runs outside of the local elections in D.C. and then a couple of our territories like Guam and American Samoa. The states run those.
Who decides who gets that money? Because that's money give out. It's a pool of money they're giving out to local election organizations. And I wonder if that's going to stay clean. And know what I'm referring to.
Gregory, we're not going to get a report here in a year or 6 months' time where they're going to tell us where that $425 million went. It's gone. It could just go into some senator's bank account or, I don't know, to the vice president's son or something. They don't run any elections. These are the states. And so they're going to hand out block grants to the states for election security. So let me get this straight. You're going to take money from people who live in Ohio, and then you're going to give it back to Ohio for election security. Why does that even need to leave the state? That's none of your business. The federal government is not supposed to be in the election business where states are concerned. This is awful. $208 for the EPA. What are y'all talking about? Gregory, they act like we have a surplus.
Yeah, we have money to spend. Okay, so the Senate, to be clear, Senate has not voted on this.
Right.
Maybe they don't like it and change it.
Oh, you mean like maybe someone in the Senate will be like, hang on a second. We don't need to do all this
spending. What the Hades is going on?
Yeah, that's funny, Gregory. That's... It's never happened.
It's not gonna. Thank you, everyone. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Studio audience.
See, I know they're listening now.
Yeah.
That was a good one, though, Gregory. Fun stuff.
Look, even stuff that if it was on its own, I would be okay with. Like the two taxes, there are three taxes that got repealed from Obamacare. But it makes me think, what happened to all this PAYGO garbage that happens when we want to cut taxes? Remember when he was cutting taxes with the Tax Cut and Job Act? And they're like, well, if we're going to cut revenue, we have to cut spending somewhere. And if we can't, then we're going to have to get that revenue from somewhere else. If we're going to give these people a tax cut over here, we're going to have to raise taxes over here. No PAYGO concerns when it's $208 million for the EPA. Did they raise a tax over here to fund another $22 billion to the government? Did they raise another tax somewhere for $25 million to study how they can take away my guns? No.
$425 million.
PAYGO's not a concern when they want to spend money. PAYGO's only a concern when you're trying to get them to take less of your money, Gregory. If we want a tax cut, oh, then PAYGO. Wow, that's just the law of the land. This guy, everything's got to be revenue neutral. Really?
But going back to your election systems, that's now totaling $805 million since 2016 that's allocated to that.
And it should be zero.
So the previous $400 million wasn't enough to fix it.
Well, that's such a good point. You're so right. If $400 million is not going to fix it, $200 million is not going to do it. Can I get a refund on that $400 million? Are y'all just going to do the same thing you did when you flushed that? Told you I'm hot. Now, the next segment, Gregory, I'm going to be in a better mood because we get to talk about the markets. But anything else you see over there that's got you especially?
No, what I bet is there'll be more tomorrow.
What do you think about
that? As more information comes out. That's just some highlights. That's not, yeah, there's always more.
What do you think about raising the tobacco age to 21?
I think it should be raised to like 65.
Until you're terminally ill.
Smoke, yeah, you're on the back end of it. And if you want to smoke, then fine. I know that's a little bit ridiculous, but yeah, they should raise it to 25 or 30 or something.
Here's the dastardly thing about that. Now the states don't get to decide. Now Louisiana, we can't decide for ourselves what we want our smoking age to be. The federal government's stealing that from us.
Well, the problem is it kills.
It does.
Okay. James and I had talked some yesterday about the Max jet, the 737 Max. So if you aren't aware,
you're going to Boeing on it?
Southwest has canceled those in their schedule through April. So that's some hope that, like, yeah, maybe we'll get these things flying in the next 4 months, 3 to 4 months, but, looks like Boeing has ran out of places to park them because, you know, they've been building, before this happened, they were building over 50 a month. They dialed it back to 40 a month.
That's impressive.
And since then, they've been building 40 jets a month. So they've got 400 of them parked over there. I guess they ran out of parking space because they've now, like January, we'll be filling the last few spots and we're just going to take a pause until we can get all these deliveries done, and they're expecting to get that done first half of next year. But that's got to be ugly for GE, which builds engines.
Oh, right. There's going to be all kinds of poor web people that get caught in this web.
Yeah, this is kind of an ugly thing. One of the things I was wondering about there, you know, and you and I talked about, like, if you were building this from the ground up, would you build it where you needed software in case it took off too steep to correct that? You would really want that thing to fly level, essentially. And so they had to build software to do that. And then it turns out the software's flawed. And then this is a leap. And they really didn't tell anybody about it because then that would have caused more scrutiny and delays on that new model. So they shortcutted that. And now they've been grounded for a year plus is what this is going to end up. So, and one of the things, and when they were talking about probabilities on that original version of it, I think they were talking about it under the probabilities about a crash every 2 years. Well, what's the probability now? You know, there's a reason they've not approved it yet. I'll simplify. Here's one of the reasons. They're going to be darn sure this thing is right. Because it's all you need is one going down after they turn them loose.
And no one's going to get on them. I mean, I would, but my wife wouldn't get on them. You know, some people just remember that. And they're like, no, I'll take another jet. What kind of jet is this? All right, next one. See what Southwest is doing. Okay, see what United is doing. All right, see what Delta's doing. anything but a super max, or what is it called? Max 737, max 89.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, before we jump into the numbers here, a few events coming up. In the next decade, we're going to kick it off with some events in January. The next Wine, Wisdom, and Food Experience is going to be January 15th at Keith Young Steakhouse. That's up in Madisonville. Gregory, that's less than a month away.
Yeah, well, we have to get started on the next decade. The new year is around the corner. Do you realize what is happening next week? Christmas. I looked up and realized it's Christmas next week.
Yeah,
Wednesday, Christmas. In fact. You know what Tuesday is? It's Christmas Eve. Wonderful
time of the ding, year. Dong. That's my part. Ding. With the
kids and Monday is like when the warnings go off. You have 2 days.
Yeah, time to start shopping, guys. All right. So who needs to go to this? What's the guys?
Hey, if you're about improving what you're doing with your accumulation, your savings, your investments, that's what this is about. Because you're going to hear me talk about the 50-50 strategy. This is also about save more money. You know, it's not something complicated. Actually, it's pretty simple what we do, but we have some pretty good ideas about going forward. How about tax efficiency? For a segment, we've talked about what this government's doing on spending. Well, they're going to spend us into tax increases is what's coming. They're the Dems, I'm telling you, and they're the ones that all those, you know, the original G20, the D20, Democrat 20, the original 20, that's all they could talk about is how they want to raise taxes. Well, it's happening because we're going to spend us there where it has to happen. So we're going to talk about tax efficiency. And by the way, we're going to have some fun. We're going to start off with a glass of sparkling. I'm going to give you some wine tips, some foodie tips. We're going to have a good time paired with great food. And what a better place to have a wine, wisdom, and food experience than Keith in Madisonville.
So that's January 15th. You got to RSVP GregoryRicks.com or call his office. The day before that, though, an open house. This is new to me. I haven't been to a Gregory Ricks and Associates open house before.
Yeah, over in Gulfport.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of that wine and cheese thing.
Oh, can I go then, or I got to do a show? I got to do a show.
I think you're busy.
Dang it.
That evening.
Well, someone
but it's an open house to come in, see the office. I'll be there. Some of the team will be there. Just come hang out and talk. Check us out. We're in your neighborhood.
It's on Lorraine.
Yeah. We're in the center of the Gulf Coast there on Lorraine Road. 504-832-9200. That office number, whether you want to go set up a visit at the Gulfport office or the Mandeville, Louisiana office or the Metairie, Louisiana office. 504-832-9200. And if you want to, you know, RSVP for the open house, be good to do that. And if you want to have a seat at the Wine Wisdom Food Experience in Madisonville, 504-832-9200.
All right. But the next event on the calendar is January 7th. This is a Social Security Lunch and Learn. We've been doing these Lunch and Learn events where it's just kind of, we're going to hand out some information in a box lunch, answer some questions. And, you know, if you like what you hear, maybe we can do more later, but there's nothing really going to be going on too serious. This is going to be more of a conversation, and the focus on this one's going to be lunch and learn. We know the estate planning ones, they fill up, and we get a lot of good feedback.
Well, I know
on those.
This is going to fill up because, you know, we kind of own that guidance because we talk about, you know, we have people call into the show all the time about it. So,
all right. So that's January 7th. It's 3 weeks from today. It's happening in Metairie at the same office complex for Gregory Ricks and Associates. It's sort of by Veterans and Causeway. It's on Veterans right before you get to Causeway. And it's what, 16, maybe 20 people. This is kind of a smaller event. And
it's an annex. It's going to be 20 people. Small group.
Is this 11:30? Same as the other ones?
Yeah.
Get there 11:30, eat your food. We'll do a presentation at noon. And answer some of your questions on Social Security questions you're going to have a hard time finding answers for anywhere else. All right. All that said, look, if you need any more info on those events, GregoryRicks.com. There's an events tab at the top. On the Saturday show, we had a couple callers here where people were asking about some nuance, real specific stuff about Medicare. And more importantly, their Medicare premiums went through the roof, and they want to know why and how they can fix it. So I'm going to take both of these calls back to back from Saturday's show, and then we'll get a follow-up from Gregory. But in the meantime, if you got a financial situation, phone line's open, 504-260-0995. John, New Orleans, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, John?
Hello. How you doing?
We're doing awesome. You, John?
Good, good. Yes, that's me. I'm going to give you a situation, and maybe you can help me out. What it is, I'm just recently retired, and I have too much qualified money. I'm getting hit already with an increase in Medicare payments, and I'm trying to see, what is there anything that I can do about this? Should I roll, just bite the bullet and just roll all this money into a Roth, or or how can I reduce my income, I guess, is what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, if you're pushing more income in, like you're doing a conversion, you're going to boost income, which also will cause your Medicare premium to go up. I don't know. I've probably talked to people that have a low premium, but that's because they don't have a lot of retirement assets. And if I ask them, if I gave you, let's say you had another million in assets and were kicking up more income, if you had more money, would you be okay paying higher in Medicare premiums? And I bet they would say yes. This is kind of like surprising. You have too much money. Because you said that on air. I have too much money. I'm paying higher Medicare. Great problem to have. Congratulations on that, John, because most people don't have too much money. With that said, over time, and I would think of it as tax bracket management, over time, you could probably do some planning, but you're obviously not 70 and a half either, are you, John?
No, I'm 64. Okay. I'll be 65 next year.
Yeah, so you can take less income, but some of that problem for you is the income you're needing to take is qualified money, so it is showing up and taxed as ordinary income. If you had non-qualified assets, you could strategically take principal and defer other income that's showing up as taxable, like using a tax-deferred annuity can shield you from non-qualified earnings in a situation like that. But you have RMDs coming, so you could, hey, well, I want to keep my income down, but at a certain point, required minimum distributions is going to increase that for you and create more taxable income that would affect your Medicare premium.
Right, right. And that's what's happening to me. I can see this problem coming.
Yeah. And there is some conversations that you could have. We work with clients on this. We work with high net worth clients. We work with clients that have a lot of qualified money. And that's something where you sit down. I can't just give, and I don't know enough about you or the scenarios that might work, but there could possibly be some work that will help you in the future from a tax standpoint, create more efficiencies for you to perhaps maybe help you save some money. But some of that would involve shifting money in the near future to offset it further down the road. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that helps. And that's something you can call my office, you know, my daytime job, and we, you know, start with a phone conversation perhaps, or come in for a visit.
Anything else we can help you with, John?
I might have another question.
Go ahead.
If I were to put some of this money in a non-qualified annuity, and then I were to defer the taxes on that, what would be my heirs' options on taking that money?
They're going to inherit it. They're beneficiaries of that.
They'd be the beneficiaries, but what would their options be as far as taking it out of the...
Well, first off, you were calling to talk, let's just to clear up, you were talking about qualified money. Now, if you're shifting qualified money to a non-qualified annuity, that's a taxable event. So I can't say we would do that way.
Money
So if we're putting non-qualified money into the annuity and your heirs are inheriting that, your beneficiaries are inheriting that, they have up to 5 years to take that money out of that annuity contract. So they have 5 years that they can let it set and defer, but then they have to take it, and it is a taxable event, and it would be taxed as ordinary income is what the rules for that are.
Yeah. Well, okay. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks for listening to Winning at Life. Going back to the annuity question on non-qualified annuities, a lot of times I get this, that there's this myth out there. Oh, if I put it in annuity and I die, that money's gone. That is a myth. There's, when you put money in annuities, money goes by contract, and which means there's a beneficiary designation on an annuity. We favor fixed annuities, which do not expose you to actual market risk. But the only time you use an annuity and you die and the money does not go to a beneficiary is when you're taking an immediate annuity on life income, meaning you're taking a lump sum and purchasing payments over your lifetime without a period certain. And when you die, those payments are going to cease without a period certain, locking it in at least for a minimum period. And my question to you is, why would you put money in something like that? Here's how I think they should be structured. I think you structure like an investment. And we have a lot of clients that use those tools in the mix of what they're doing, and they take income. They take distributions off the returns those annuities are getting. And when they die, that money is going to a beneficiary. The full account value is moving on. So just wanted to clear that up so you don't have this myth. Oh, annuities are bad because the money goes away when I die. It does not. Only on life income annuities. Those are immediate annuities. The whole purpose of them is you're giving them a lump sum and they start paying out checks for the rest of your life. And I don't know why you would do that. Otherwise, we're structuring income. Now to the Medicare premiums and amount of income. So somebody's doing a conversion or cashing a portion of an amount of a, say, a qualified account. You're boosting your income a lot for this year. You have to remember you're going to boost your Medicare premium for that year as well, because your Medicare premiums are based upon what your earnings are. So keep that in mind when you're doing Roth conversions or taking a large distribution, or you have an income boost for some reason while you're on Medicare. So just want to throw that out there.
Dale in Long Beach, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Dale?
Thank you guys for doing what you do. I'm an avid listener over here for the last few years. I've got a very similar situation. It's kind of ironic that I was behind this caller, but it's completely different. I'm 65, be 66 here just in a couple of months, and I was going to take my retirement. I've been on Medicare for, the past year. Finally got insurance coverage and got a good supplement policy. Well, last year, I own a couple of businesses. I mean, I do good, but I'm not a multimillionaire. I actually took a dividend from my oldest business that could easily do it for about $125,000, because I had a tax advantage where I could go on and rather than take a big refund last year for a lot of reasons there's no use to go into here. But it threw my Medicare payments higher. Like this caller just called in said, it put me at almost a debt-free situation on home and debts, what I was trying to achieve, entered my retirement era. What's going to happen is my question. This higher bracket of Medicare, do I stay there when I take my full retirement here in 2 or 3 months, or not full retirement, at 66 retirement? And I'm going to still operate my small businesses. But this is kind of a windfall income I had. Will that Social Security rate stay the same, or will it be reevaluated next year?
It's going to be reevaluated each year. If it's modified adjusted gross income, and it will be adjusted each year. So if income goes up more, then your premium goes up. Income goes down, your premium will be adjusted down.
All right, does that cover it, Dale, or do you need to hang on?
That got it. That really helped me. Thank you very much.
All right, so that was a couple of great calls from the Saturday show. You know we do this 6 days a week. So anything else we need to clear up from the Medicare situation?
Well, just to clarify that, you know, one of the things you have to think about is your income in retirement years. And then if something boosts it up. So, you know, just kind of looking at married couples with modified adjusted gross income of $170,000 or less. For example, in 2019, the standard premium is $135.50. Your Part D coverage is your plan premium. But if your income is higher, and it could go higher because all of a sudden you have to start taking required minimum distributions, or you inherited some non-qualified annuities, and there's a lot of growth in there, and all of a sudden you've got to cash that account because you have to take it out when it's an non-qualified inherited annuity. You know, any situation, all of a sudden, you know, that your income boosts, you know, an example of, now, if you that modified adjusted gross income goes above 170,000, not up to, but above 170,000 up to 214,000, it's that standard premium plus another $54.10 a month. If you go above 214,000 up to 267,000 as a couple, you're getting additional $135.40. Your Part D is going up to $31.90 from $12.40. Then if it goes, and I can keep going, 267,000 up to 320. Well, there's another $216.70 on top of it, and your Part D goes to $51.40, and it can keep going to as much as, if you're MAGI equal to or above $750,000, it's a plus $325 a month, and on your Part D, a plus $77.40.
Not too worried about that last group there. You're over 750.
Yeah, but it's what it is, you know, what we talked about that really gets people is when it's shorter term bump, something happens and boosts it. Just like if you, well, you know, I didn't know it was going to happen if I did a Roth conversion and I converted $200,000. Well, yeah, you just boosted your premium for that year as well. Well, I didn't factor that in. If they were coming and talking to my team and I, yeah, we'd have mentioned that to them. But, you know, it's just, you have to think about this. And that's kind of why we shared that information on Saturday's show, is that you, and it's kind of like you're paying for what you did 2 years ago. So if you have the data and records and can provide that, you could get the reduction sped up there. But it's all these little things to think about.
Yeah. And I've heard you put the brakes on a guy who asked, man, I'm thinking about cashing in my 401k to pay off a mortgage. Well, there's other consequences of that. Maybe you haven't thought of this. And it's also really tough on the people on the lower end, because that premium's coming out of your Social Security check. I hope you figured that in when you went to SSA.gov and you got your report and found out what your monthly bill is. You might not get all of that.
Yeah, they're not. If you're drawing Social Security, they're going to deduct it from that check. You probably said, well, I thought I could just send them a check and wait a little while to send it. No, they're taking it out of your check. All of a sudden it gets whacked.
Well, and the other thing I like about the situation that you were explaining is the time delay. You're judged on what, the last file, the taxes you filed? So the last taxes you filed were this year for what, the year 2018? So we're going to be walking into 2020, and you're going to be beholden to the amount of income you had in 2018 for your Medicare premiums.
Yeah, still going into 2020.
So it gets pretty complicated real quick. If you have any questions, let us know. 504-260-0995. Let's go over to Harahan. You want to talk to this Robert guy, Gregory?
Yes, I like talking to Robert.
All right, Robert, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
Yes, I recently inherited $75,000 from a succession, and I have $24,000 in credit card debt and a $17,000 car payment left. I was wondering if it was better just to pay that off, or I was thinking about getting a secured loan to pay it off so I don't lose the money that I would have to pay on all that. What is your best advice on that?
Well, how much is this debt costing you a month?
A lot.
Okay, so give us some interest rates to start with. Credit cards are pretty high, 20%?
Yeah, they're very high. It's more than I can really manage.
Okay, so what's your monthly cost on that?
It's at least probably $1,000 or $1,200 or more.
It's okay, that car note. How much is that car note?
That's about $389 a month.
So we're talking about close to $2,000 a month you're freeing up.
Yeah.
So how many? So if you free that up, and being this is a burden on your budget, but let's say you saved $1,500 a month.
Yes.
How long would that take you? It'd take you what, about a year and a half to make up that money? 2 years at most. Right. You know, it's $18,000 a year at $1,500 a month. Yeah, to me, because of the stress of it, and then if you're going to secure it or borrow money against the 75, now you're paying interest on something else as well. Do you have emergency money?
Just inherited this money, and I didn't make any moves yet, and that's why I wanted to ask you about it, or somebody who knew a lot more than I did.
Okay, yeah, so obviously you don't have emergency money either.
No,
from this, or you wouldn't have this much debt. So I tell you what, it fixes your debt, and now you have emergency money, so now you can start saving and make an impact. I like the idea of starting with a clean slate in your situation sounds good to me.
Yes. Okay. That's what I thought you would say.
and that, to me, and I always think inheritance is special money, and prudent and do the right and sensible thing. And this is the right and sensible thing. This can be a life-changing event for you. No, it not can be, it is.
Yeah.
And you can do good with it going forward. Congratulations. Yeah. And Merry Christmas.
Thanks. Same to you. Appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. All right, if you want to be next, 504-260-0995. But you might want to get in pretty quick. Kind of run out of time here.
You know, I like that story he just told. You know, what an impact it is, life-changing event that he solves that burden he's having to deal with. If this hadn't came up, how is he going to get out of that? Couple side gigs? You know, we don't know enough about him, but he's going to need time to fix that, and a good bit more earnings were going to have to go up because something was also stressing them, meaning probably he didn't have any margin, probably had negative cash flow because of the debt situation continuing to compound and can't get away from it. When you get behind on credit cards, it's so hard to write that because of the amount of interest being charged.
Well, the thing that really makes this hit home for me, you, probably the guy listening too, is we all have those debts that are hanging over us. And to hear some guy be confronted with the situation where he's going to like erase all those. We know how good that must feel for Robert, right?
Yeah.
Good for him. So I like the positive stories. All right, Gregory, anything else we need to tie up before we get out of here? You want to mention the events again? Or, man, I hadn't really talked to you since Saturday. Did we miss anything since then?
Oh, well, Miss Joe and that Heisman Award speech.
Oh, what happened with that? He won?
Everybody in Louisiana knows about Joe, so.
Yeah, that's something.
And the Southeast. Yeah.
All right. I took your advice, and I went back and I listened to the Joe Burrow speech. So then I had to go back and record it. And so we'll go over some of the financial things, because there's actually a financial epilogue to the story here.
Well, I'll just say, and he was talking about the community he grew up in and obviously knew people that had a tough time. And he did a shout out to them and the kids over there saying, hey, if you work hard, you can succeed as well and get out of that. And next thing you know, I saw this morning, they've raised over $300,000, and he didn't ask to raise money or anything, but all of a sudden people put together plans and people like
one guy started to go
fill in the love and giving it back. And hey, we did too. We threw in $100 bill on that too. It's just, and now they got over $300,000 accumulated there. It, talking about affecting people's lives. And such a positive thing.
And it happened in the context of a season where college players getting paid was a huge storyline. It's like, no, I'm not worried about money for me. I'll help other people right now. Money, I'll be taken care of later.
Yeah. If you'd like to have a further conversation about your situation, maybe get some help, some guidance, come to one of our offices. This is the number you need to call, 504-832-9200, GregoryRicks.com.
I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest, subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.